As teachers and students flock back to school, there are well over a million school-age boys and girls who won't be going to any school building at all, and yet they'll be getting a great education. On the next Back to God Hour, we'll focus on homeschooling and why it's working for so many people.
The program begins in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2.
As teachers and students flock back to school, there are well over a million school-age boys and girls who won't be going to any school building at all, and yet they'll be getting a great education. What are they doing? Stay tuned. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and our topic for today is homeschooling.
More and more children are getting an education without ever entering a school building. What are they doing? They're learning at home. They're being taught not by certified professional teachers, but by their parents. The whole idea of homeschooling may sound odd to you, especially if you've always assumed that schools are the only way to get an education. But most people who are actually involved in homeschooling seem to love it, and it seems to be working. One thing's for sure, homeschooling is growing by leaps and bounds. In 1978, there were barely 12,500 homeschoolers in all of North America. Today, just 20 years later, the number is more than 100 times that amount, with about 1.5 million children being homeschooled in the United States and Canada. What's it all about? If you're not a homeschooler, you may be curious to know what homeschoolers actually do. Perhaps you even wonder if your own family should consider it. Then again, you may have misgivings about homeschooling. Here are some comments homeschoolers hear from time to time. Children are too valuable a resource to be left in the hands of amateurs. They should be taught by certified educators. Homes don't have adequate equipment for education. Children need the kind of resources that only a well-funded public school can offer. What if the homeschooling is abusive? Children need other children their own age for proper socialization. I could never teach my children every day. I send them to the public school. They're professionals. Greg Harris is a home educator and seminar speaker. He takes these comments about homeschooling and applies them to another activity, home cooking. Suppose you're out grilling hamburgers in your yard. Your neighbor says, "That's unusual. You cook for your children every day, don't you?" "I could never do that. Besides, I think children are too valuable a resource to be left to amateur cooks. Only certified nutritionists should be allowed to cook. Home kitchen equipment could never be adequate. All children should eat 3 standard meals in government cafeterias." What if the home-cooked meals are abusive? Children need to eat with other children their own age in order to learn proper table manners. "I could never cook for my own children every day, so I send them out to the restaurants. They're professionals." Sounds a little silly, doesn't it? Believe it or not, there was once a time when homeschooling and home cooking were about equally common. For most of human history, parents assumed it was their job not only to feed their kids, but also to educate and train them for their future role in society. What children learned, they learned at home from their parents and their extended family. Eventually, schools were established to teach children things their family couldn't teach them and to supply learning resources their parents couldn't provide. And that was okay, as long as parents remained involved in their children's instruction and in the life of the school. All too often, however, parents began to leave everything to institutions, and children began to see less and less of their parents. We've now reached a point where the average parents, according to a survey, spend just 7 minutes a day in face-to-face conversation with their children. 7 minutes! No wonder homeschooling sounds odd to some. Most parents hardly talk with their kids, let alone take charge of helping them to make sense of the world around them. In a society that lives on fast food, home cooking sounds quaint. In a society that learns only in institutional classrooms, homeschooling sounds odd. In much of society, home anything is starting to sound strange. Home? What's that? Oh yeah, that's the place I watch TV and sleep. Homeschoolers want to make the home a place of love and learning, not just a private motel where various individuals sleep and watch TV and mumble a few words to each other as one is coming and the other's going. Homeschoolers want to make the family central, not marginal. They won't settle for a measly 7 minutes a day of conversation. They want to spend hours talking and studying and working and playing and eating together. For many, homeschooling isn't just an educational approach, it's a way of life. It's not just about better academic instruction, it's about restoring the family. This is true of homeschoolers from various backgrounds, and is especially true of Bible-believing homeschoolers. In the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4, verse 6, God speaks of turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else, says God, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Christian homeschoolers take that verse to heart. They see a terrible curse befalling our society with its crumbling homes and confused kids. And many Christian parents sense the Lord turning their hearts back to their children. For such people, home education is part of a larger vision of family restoration, of parents taking back responsibility for their children's intellectual, social, and spiritual development. On today's program, let's take a closer look at each of these areas, intellectual, social, and spiritual, and consider the impact of Christian homeschooling in each area. Let's begin with the intellectual. Do homeschooled children really learn anything from ordinary moms and dads? Can there be academic excellence when they're not being taught by certified professionals? You might see a news item once in a while about a homeschooler winning the National Spelling Bee or getting a perfect score on the SAT. But these are just a few individuals. What's the overall picture? A study in Canada found that the average Canadian homeschool student scored in the 76th percentile on standardized achievement tests. The national average, by definition, is 50. In the United States, where the total number of homeschoolers is much larger, the most recent major study found that the average American homeschool student scored in the 87th percentile on standardized achievement tests, 37 percentile points higher than the national average. To put it another way, the average homeschooler is in the top 13% of all students, higher than 87% of all other children. And the longer the child was homeschooled, the greater the advantage. How can that be? How is it that children can learn more from ordinary parents than from expert teachers? Well, the simple fact is that children thrive when they're being taught one-on-one, and their individual interests and abilities are taken into account. God creates each child individually, not on an assembly line. In some school classrooms, there's a one-size-fits-all approach. 20 or 30 students of different backgrounds, different interests, different abilities, all have to cover the same material at the same rate. For some, the pace is frustratingly fast, while for others, it's boringly slow. At home, on the other hand, the pace matches the individual. The child can slow down when something is a struggle and speed up when it's a snap. Children learn best when they're treated as individuals, not as units in a factory. And don't think homeschooling parents are completely on their own. If there was ever a time when parents didn't have resources to give their children solid intellectual training, that time is past. There are books, computer programs, and countless other teaching helps, and there are also local support groups for homeschoolers. At any rate, whatever the explanation, the average home-educated child does better academically than the average child in school. It's hard to argue with facts. A number of homeschooling parents happen to be trained as certified teachers, but there's little difference between the achievement level of their children and the children of other homeschooling parents. Research among homeschoolers has found that parents with less education do as well as those with more. Low-income parents do as well as rich parents. Black and Hispanic homeschoolers do as well as white homeschoolers. That's in sharp contrast to public schools, where low-income and minority students tend to score much lower than wealthy white students. Apparently, the ability to give your children a good education at home has little to do with institutional certification or wealth or skin color. It has everything to do with a commitment to personally provide an education for your children. It's an old prejudice to assume that in order to be wise and well-informed, you have to have formal training at the feet of a certified expert. Jesus himself ran into that kind of prejudice. His father, Joseph, was a carpenter, his mother, Mary, a housewife. People who heard Jesus speak couldn't see how a man from a working-class family in a poor town with no expert training could be so knowledgeable. How could Jesus be so brilliant if he'd never been the student of a recognized rabbi? They asked each other, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Still today, it's hard for certain people to believe that someone can have great learning without having studied in a formal setting. Homeschoolers are disproving such prejudices. Most homeschool students aren't falling behind, they're excelling. And although there's often a move toward a simpler lifestyle, homeschoolers aren't left behind by modern technology. In fact, they're on the cutting edge. 86% of homeschool families own a computer, far higher than average. More and more colleges and universities are actively recruiting homeschool students. When it comes to intellectual development, homeschooling works. But you might wonder, even if the children are doing well academically, what about their social development? Don't kids need to get out of the house and do things and be with other kids their own age? Probably the most common question homeschoolers hear is, what about socialization? Well, homeschooled children don't live in isolation. 98% of homeschoolers are involved in two or more activities outside the home every week, and the average homeschooler is involved in five weekly activities, including sports, ballet, various clubs, church events, and so forth. If anything, homeschoolers are more likely to do too much outside the home than too little. At any rate, while many school children spend 7 hours a day in classrooms with kids their own age, trying to sit still and be quiet, or else whispering and passing notes, homeschoolers are studying, cooking, cutting grass, doing laundry and other chores, and helping out with younger brothers and sisters. Many homeschooled kids finish their schoolwork quickly and then go where their parents go, meeting people of various ages and occupations. Isn't that healthy socialization? After all, in the adult world, people aren't divided into age-segregated groups that sit in rows in the same room. That only happens in school. When people ask homeschoolers, "What about socialization?" they often haven't thought much about the kind of socialization their own children are getting. Their biggest concern is that home-educated children don't spend enough time with kids their own age. But why not reverse the question and ask if kids in school are spending too much time with kids their own age and not nearly enough time with their parents? Why take it for granted when school children become peer-dependent and yet worry that homeschool children might be too parent-dependent? Isn't that getting things backward? How many kids are using drugs or alcohol or talking dirty or having sex because they spend too much time with loving parents and not enough time with kids their own age? Socialization is important, all right. Companionship plays a huge part in how we turn out. Scripture says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Where is a child more likely to be walking with the wise? When he's with his parents or with his peers? Who is wiser, dad and mom, or a bunch of kids who all watch the same movies, listen to the same music, wear the same clothes, and do all the same things because their classmates happen to be doing them? This doesn't mean that if your kids go to school, the family can't remain at the center of their lives, but you will have to work at it, or else your children's lives will soon be centered on their schoolmates. You must work to steer your kids clear of the wrong crowd at school. At home, you must make space in your schedule and your children's schedule to do fun things and pursue helpful projects together as a family. You must make sure there's plenty of time outside of school hours for family meals and conversation in order to nourish and strengthen family ties. If you don't do this, if instead you drop your kids in a daycare center as babies, in preschool as four-year-olds, in public school from kindergarten to high school graduation, if you keep them institutionalized from the cradle to adulthood, plunk them in front of TV when they do happen to be at home, and are face-to-face with them only 7 minutes a day, then just plan on your children being more attached to schoolmates than to you. And don't be shocked if the results aren't very pretty. The most important part of socialization is to keep parents and family central in a child's life. In the Bible, it's not a peer, but a parent who says, "My son, give me your heart." The key to healthy social development, whether your children are educated at home or in school, is for you as parents to win your children's hearts and keep their hearts. If you homeschool, you can give your kids plenty of chances for outside involvement, and you can give them ample opportunity to have fun with friends. But the family remains the hub of their lives, and friendships are spokes tied into that central hub. The socialization issue is sometimes considered a negative of homeschooling, but it's actually a positive. Researcher Thomas Smedley conducted a study and concluded the home-educated children in this sample were significantly better socialized and more mature than those in public schools. Another study, comparing homeschoolers to children from good private schools, found that the two groups were equally well-adjusted socially and emotionally. The only difference was that the homeschoolers tended to be less peer-dependent. So if your question is, what about socialization? The answer is that homeschooling can produce excellent social development. And now the final and most important matter we're going to consider. What about spiritual development? The Bible emphasizes that parents are their children's main teachers in spiritual matters, and that educating children in God's ways is an around-the-clock activity. Scripture says, "Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." God wants parents to teach kids every chance they get, and provide them with a God-saturated environment. On Judgment Day, if it turns out your children never got a good introduction to Jesus, never learned what the Bible says, never learned how to pray, never learned to see God's rule over all of life, whom will God hold accountable? You, the parents. On Judgment Day, the Lord won't blame a preacher or teacher, first of all. He'll blame you. He gave those children to you. The spiritual instruction of children isn't just the job of a pastor or Sunday school instructor or church youth leader or Christian school teacher. Such people may have a role to play, and parents may delegate some work to them, but the spiritual instruction of children is first of all the job of parents and grandparents. Scripture plainly says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, "Teach them to your children and to their children after them." In Psalm 78, the Bible says, "God commanded our forefathers to teach their children, and they in turn would tell their children." Earlier, in discussing intellectual development, we talked about standardized tests. To be honest, most Christian homeschoolers don't care much about those tests. In some places, the tests are required by law, and the homeschoolers generally do very well on them. But those tests only measure the kind of things public schools care about. They don't test a student's knowledge of the Bible or of other great books in the Christian tradition. They don't ask how the wisdom of God and the lordship of Christ relate to math and science, and history and art and literature. They don't measure a student's moral and spiritual development in relationship to Jesus. But to Christian parents, these things matter more than anything. They're the very heart and soul of education. In fact, some Christian home educators don't like the phrase home schooling at all. They prefer to speak of home-based discipleship. They're not just trying to make kids smart enough to get a job and make a living. They're trying to make disciples for Jesus who will radiate the light of Christ to others. One reason some folks object to homeschooling is that kids won't learn to fit in. But Christian parents don't want their kids to fit in with the world. They want them to stand out for God. And there's every indication that God is blessing their efforts and raising up a generation that is intellectually bright, socially sound, and spiritually strong. I hope that what you've just heard helps you to understand and to appreciate Christian homeschoolers. I also hope that if you're a mom or dad, it's made you think about your own responsibilities toward the children God has given you. Maybe God is laying it on your heart right now to consider homeschooling. If your children's school situation isn't good, and you don't have the option of a better school, please consider homeschooling. It may be God's way for your family. If there's an outstanding Christian school in your area, the kind we talked about on last week's program, such a school may be an excellent place for your children. Still, don't assume you can leave everything to the school. Even if your children go to a fine school, you as parents are responsible to invest the time and energy to make the family central and God's ways uppermost in the minds and lives of your children. Some parents decide to homeschool even when there's a good Christian school nearby. In some cases, they'd rather not have both parents away from the kids working outside the home to pay the tuition bills. In other cases, they simply believe God is calling them to be the teachers of their children and spend the best hours of the day with them without delegating any of the work to a school. Those who choose to homeschool and those who choose to send their children to Christian schools should respect one another's choices. Why condemn or compete when we can cooperate? It's best when Christian schools and homeschoolers work closely together and deeply appreciate each other. Now, a closing word to those of you who like what you've heard about homeschooling and wonder whether you should try it. Please realize that success isn't automatic. It takes hard work and daily commitment. Homeschooling, like anything else, will fail if it's done carelessly. So don't consider homeschooling unless you're prepared to do it well and give it your best. At the same time, however, don't be too quick to say, "Oh, I could never do that." You can probably do a lot more than you think you can, especially if God leads you to do it. Before you decide you're not qualified, let me ask, who else loves your children more than you do? Who else knows them better than you do? Who else should have a greater hand in shaping their character? Nobody. And it may well be that nobody else can do a better job of increasing their knowledge and skills either. If you're considering homeschooling, here's what to expect. Expect that you'll have to maintain order and discipline in your home. You'll go crazy if you don't, since you'll be spending so much time with your kids and you can't ship them somewhere else. Expect that you will need to look into various educational approaches and choose what seems best for your family. Expect to have a direct sense of responsibility for your children's intellectual, social, and spiritual development. As a homeschooler, if you don't do it, nobody will. These things may be deeply rewarding, but that doesn't mean they're easy. So expect challenges, but also expect great joys. Expect the delight of being there to see each new development in your child. Expect to be drawn closer than you've ever been. Expect to be amazed at how you really can teach your children and at how much you learn yourself. Expect to do what you never thought you could do. Expect to say with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And finally, expect to say with the Apostle John, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth."
Recently, a major news magazine published a cover story on the cost of children, saying that kids are awfully expensive and that you'd be millions richer if you didn't have any. On the next Back to God Hour, we'll see why such thinking is misguided, and we'll see the tremendous value of raising up a family dynasty.
The program begins in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2.
Recently, a major news magazine published a cover story on the cost of children, saying that kids are awfully expensive and that you'd be millions richer if you didn't have any. But the author of the article missed something. Stay tuned.